When Alicia Abbott was 22 years old, her dad died of AIDS. It was San Francisco in the early 90s. Alicia's dad was out as a gay man. She wasn't out about his illness. It wasn't until many years later that she finally met somebody else who had lost a parent to AIDS. Together, they've launched a website and oral history project called The Recollectors. It's dedicated to telling the stories of children who lost parents to AIDS. These are stories that have rarely been told. Alicia, I want to start off by asking you about when you first learned that your dad was HIV positive. You were in college then. You graduated a semester early to move to San Francisco to go take care of him. What was that like when the life that you were about to lead was completely inconsistent with the life you had been leading?
Right. I was at a point in my life where I was coming off of my junior and then my senior year in college. Back in New York City, my good friends were getting internships, and I had an internship at Columbia Records. Everything felt very promising and exciting. And then suddenly, I had to pack up my bags, move home to San Francisco to be the sole caregiver for my father for an indefinite amount of time. I had no idea how long this period would last, and I didn't know anyone who could relate with my experience.
Meaning having a gay father and a father who had HIV.
Right, especially having to be 21 and have a father who is dying, and then to also have a father who is dying of AIDS. I didn't know anyone who could understand that experience.
What surprises me is that with all that you've done in your life, you only recently met someone else who you found out for the first time had also had a parent who died of AIDS. How did that meeting come about?
Well, Whitney, who is my co-founder for this project, she had worked at the same place where my then boyfriend, now husband, was working. And somehow she mentioned that her father died of AIDS. And then he said to her, oh, my girlfriend Alicia, her father died of AIDS too. And she had never ever met anyone or heard of anyone who had also lost a parent to AIDS. And so we got in touch with each other and had lunch. And we kept in touch. But, you know, we were at points of our life where I don't think it occurred to us to put together a project like this.
And why are you doing it now? I mean, what made you realize that there was a community that needed this kind of storytelling platform?
Actually, I think it became more of an idea for me in 2012, and it occurred to me that there was a cluster of people who were all about to have the 20-year anniversary of their parents' death. And what did that mean, looking back, like where we are now versus then? And also just to be at this point in our lives, meaning that so many children of parents who've died of AIDS, now 20 years on, they're often at the age that their parent was when they first were diagnosed. And so there's sort of a strange thing that happens where you look back on your life and you have maybe more compassion for your parents' experience. Or if you have children yourself now, and I do, and a number of other recollectors also do, you come to a point where you think, how am I going to tell this story to my child? You know, how are they going to understand this? And so I started wanting to talk with people, and Whitney and I got into a long conversation, and she and I started this idea that we would do a Kickstarter and create a storytelling platform that would allow us to share stories and connect people who had lost parents to AIDS.
So does it matter, do you think, as you look through these stories, how a parent contracted HIV and the fact that it was HIV, you know, as opposed to cancer or any other disease? What significance is that?
Well, you know, what's interesting is as our community grows and we now have, you know, 70 active members who have shared details of their story, is while these stories can be so different, you know, cutting across class and geography and ethnicity, there's these common threads. Among the prime one is stigma and this idea of secrecy and this idea that once, you know, unlike with cancer, which actually used to be stigmatized generations ago, with AIDS, you had children who were told, you cannot tell anyone about this. You cannot say what it is I have because it could be dangerous for our family. I could lose my job. We could be ostracized. And so you had people who really absorbed this idea that they couldn't be open about this aspect of their life. And that level of stigma was so powerful that we have some members of our community who lost, you know, parents 25 years ago who still feel that they can't be open.
How do you get people to tell their stories when they might still be reluctant?
Well, we have a public website where we have essays written, original essays written by contributors. We have interviews and oral histories, but we also have a very active private Facebook page.
For people who aren't ready, it strikes me, by the way, that some of these children of people who died of HIV, some of them are HIV positive themselves.
Yes, and that was something, again, that it makes perfect sense, but I had just never considered. So you have a situation where every day they go through the questions of, who do I tell? What is my responsibility to tell? You know, what kind of transparency can I have in my social relationships? And the fact that people still live with AIDS among us, I mean, of course they do. I mean, this has become a more manageable disease, but it's something that people don't think about anymore. And that as a community, people who lost parents to AIDS who then have lived their whole life with HIV, and they're like, you know, they're married, they want to build families, they want to be active members of their community. They're not to be pitied, but, you know, neither should they be invisible.
Do you feel as though people bear a responsibility to talk about what happened and what their lives are like now?
I mean, I think ideally, the more people share, you know, their personal history, the more understanding and less stigma would be around AIDS, just to know, oh, you know, my cousin lost her father to AIDS. Like, that's in my family. Like, I can respect that. That's not something I'm going to joke about anymore. I mean, I feel that it does a social good to be open, but I would never want to pressure someone to be open if they didn't feel comfortable. I think there are some members of our community, of the Recollectors, who through their activism, they feel deeply connected with their history and with their parent, and that's deeply satisfying for them. And there's other people for whom that's still a very painful area, and they would prefer to keep that private.
You launched in October. You're having an event coming up, a big thank you to those who have taken part in this. When you look at the website, what does this mean to you, and why is it important that this get out? I mean, what's the significance of it?
Well, when I finally wrote a book about the experience of losing my dad, I finally was at a point in my life where I realized this didn't just happen to me. This isn't just a story about my father and I. This has happened to thousands of people. There's thousands of stories like this out there that haven't been told. And I feel that this is an underreported piece of American history. And these stories are fascinating. And not everyone has an opportunity to write a book. And so, you know, we're providing a platform for people to share their stories and to meet one another and to come together as a group and say, this happened. This parent is remembered now. Maybe they died with their obituary saying they died of cancer. Maybe they died in the closet when secretly they were gay. But now I'm not ashamed of them, and I'm going to share that memory of that person.
Alicia Abbott, thank you.
Thank you.